The dervish ranks rolled forward, the horses trotting and the camels pacing steadily, the men upon their backs brandishing their weapons and chanting their war cries. The dust storm trailed behind them. They crossed the halfway line and broke into a canter, the lines bunched up like a clenching fist. Ahead, the ground was littered with their own dead. They lay thickly as cherry blossom beneath the wind-blown trees of an orchard. Their harlequin jibbers bore fresher, darker stains than the decorative patches, and the blue flies rose in a cloud as the thunder of the charge shook the earth. The hooves of the front rank trampled the corpses, scattering the bloody heaps into fresh confusion, and they came on without check. In the centre, Salida leant forward in the saddle of his grey camel. His rifle was still in its boot beneath his knee, but he handled the heavy broadsword as lightly as if it were a toy. He shouted no war cry, reserving his scant breath for the main business. His expression was ecstatic. The rheum from his bloodshot eyes ran down his cheeks into his silver-grey beard. He was an obvious target for the rifles that lay ahead. The first volley crashed into them, and men and animals were shot down. But Salida and his sons rode on untouched. Men pushed forward from the rear ranks to fill the gaps, and they were just in time to receive the next volley, and the next. But Salida rode on. On the left flank, a Nordenfeldt machine gun opened up, slicing through the front of the dervish charge with bullets. Then, almost immediately, it jammed again and fell silent. But the Martini Henrys crashed out in unison, keeping their terrible, unhurried beat. Camels bellowed as they were hit and went down. Horses plunged, reared, and fell backwards, crushing their riders. But in Salida's centre, new men rode forward, keeping up the impetus of the charge. Salida reached the point 20 feet in front of the wall of the square where each of the previous charges had failed, and floundered. Ruffard's knee touched his own. His other sons backed him almost as closely. Although 3 ranks of the dervish centre had been shot away, brave men still poured forward to give the hammer weight as it swung towards the frail wall of the square. "This time we will break these dogs," Ruffard laughed. But the British line never breaks. Now it gave a little, as a blade of a Damascus steel will bend. But it did not shatter. A wave striking the solid coral reef, they washed over the front rank. Khaki-clad figures fell under the swinging blades, and the dervish fired down into them from the backs of the camels. But gradually Salida's hammer lost its momentum. It slowed and stalled, and at last spent its weight and fury against the second rank of the little square. The big men in sweat-soaked khaki tunics held them, then hurled them back. The dervish cavalry turned and streamed away towards the cliffs. Salida was reeling on the saddle. A bayonet thrust had gone in deep above his hip bone. He might have fallen, but Ruffard reached across, and with one arm around his shoulders steadied him and led him back to the shelter of the wadi. "You are sore wounded, father." He tried to lift him to earth. "The battle has only just begun," Salida struck away his son's hands. "Help me bind up this little cut. Then we will ride back and finish the task that God and the Mahdi have set us." With his own long blue turban, they bound up the old man's wound so tightly that the flow of blood was stopped, and the bandages stiffened his back so that he could sit tall in the saddle once again. "Start the drums," said Salida. "Sound the ombea. We are going back." Osman Atalan rode up on Sweetwater, Hulumaya. His Beja division had been waiting in reserve, ready to ride in an exploit when Salida and his Jarlan forced the breach. "Revered and warlike Emir, you have done more than any man before you. Now let me take in my Beja to finish the work you have begun so well." "I will force the opening," Salida told him firmly. "You can follow after me as we agreed." Osman looked into that haughty face and saw that there was no merit in argument. If they delayed here another minute, the day was lost. The British wall had almost broken. If they struck again in the same place before it could recover, perhaps they could carry it away. "Ride then, noble Emir. I will follow close behind you." The entire dervish army, 2 full divisions, poured out from the hills and advanced upon the little cluster of men on the open plain. In the van rode the emaciated figure in a bloody jibba, bareheaded, his grey hair covering his shoulders. His eyes glittered feverishly. like those of a saint or a madman.